When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. It's flying along. Hour number three, Primetime, a holiday SOB edition. Schultze, Ortner, Buckley here with you. Thank you for being here with us on the YouTubes at 1080 The Fan on the text line 503-864-6326. Follow-up from our In the News. Somebody said they heard a Reddit story about a guy who brings a prosthetic leg to holiday family functions. Apparently, he stole it to be the hero later on, and it has backfired. Yeah!
The hero what? To whom?
Yeah, I don't
See, assuming
don't
one
know.
Of his family members is going to lose a leg?
Or maybe... I don't understand this, so we'll have to...
I am so confused.
I think there's a belief like that these prosthetics can just be used universally.
Like they're interchangeable?
Yeah, they're not. No.
Okay.
God, it's not Captain's Hook. It's not Captain's Hook, okay?
Yeah. No. Well, we have wrapped up our college football cocktail coming up. A little NFL nibble later in the hour. I want to get Ortner's thoughts on chemistry in football and how much it matters. Got two examples of teams maybe going in opposite directions from a chemistry standpoint, but both of them very much contenders. Want Will's thoughts on that. And then we also need to get to our NBA nutcracker, which includes one bad organization finding a way to out themselves as a bad organization, how social media never stops even under anesthesia, and a new concessions value menu. That is all coming up. Plus, in the club tonight, I will have a Santa's sack full of topics to throw your way. Whoa. As many as six different topics, including have we cured cancer, where Americans are moving, a Florida ban that impacts millions, and influencers rule the world, Mr. Beast edition. But all that coming up a little bit later.
Sucks.
I don't disagree. Actually, I don't know enough about him. We'll get into it later. Right now, it's time for the Victor Rico's Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Number five.
Well, a little bit of apparel news. Fresh off of winning the NBA Cup, Damian Lillard has signed a lifetime deal with Adidas, and he is just the fourth NBA player to sign a lifetime deal with an apparel company. You, of course, have LeBron James and Kevin Durant, who have lifetime deals with Nike. Steph Curry has one with Under Armour. But Dame just finished up a 10-year, $100 million deal, I believe, with Adidas that ended this year. And so now he's got a lifetime deal. The terms of that, Don't exactly know, but he will be Adidas's first lifetime basketball athlete. So good for Dame, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, finally gets his ring that he always wanted, and he gets the lifetime contract. I want to know on the lifetime contract, does it go up with inflation?
Did you just say finally gets his ring?
Well, yeah, that's what he won. He won the NBA Cup. That's a title, is it not? I thought that's why we did it.
We will talk about that coming up in our NBA Nutcracker, because while some people very much want it to matter, it seems that maybe even the team that won doesn't think that it actually does.
I don't know, dude. I heard they're raising a banner. Now Giannis has two.
Well, we do have a full slate of NBA games tonight on the heels of just one game, the NBA Cup Final last night. Among those games, the Portland Trailblazers back on the hardwood. They are at home hosting the Denver Nuggets. Denver favored by 8.5 in that one for Portland. Matisse Thybulle still out, and no word yet on whether DeAndre Ayton will play. He is reporting an illness. Boy, he's had an interesting string of things on the injury report, starting with a right finger, deep finger contusion to now just illness. You've got Delano Banton, the Bantman.
Bruise.
Yeah, the Bantman with a hip contusion, also questionable, along with Ayton.
I can get behind the hip. I cannot get behind the finger bruise. Also,
he was
remember,
out like 2 weeks with the finger bruise.
Well, his biggest miss ever is ice. When he couldn't make it off of his mountain.
And not the kind that you put on your sore joints, the time that you can't drive through.
He could not drive to the game. Hey, look.
Almost Blazers, exactly this time last year, if memory serves.
Keep losing. But do it in the right way. Lose closely.
They are 8-18. They have not been losing enough for my liking. Not that I have much of a stake in it. Two more bowl games today. We have right now the Boca Raton Bowl between James Madison and Western Kentucky. Look out. It's a barn burner. 17-17 is currently the count early in the fourth quarter. Later tonight, maybe a better bowl game. Maybe not because of all the defections. You get Cal and UNLV in, what was the name of it? The something art?
LA? I don't know.
It's like
Art Appreciation?
It's like the Respect Art LA Bowl or
it's
something like that.
Hold on. It's in my update.
It used to be the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl.
It is the Art of Sport LA Bowl.
The Art of Sport.
Better than the Jimmy Kimmel LA
I don't even
LA
know
Bowl.
What the Art of Sport. I mean, I get what the Art of Sport is, but sports how does the Art of Sport have sponsorship dollars? I don't know.
Why is Jimmy Kimmel so beloved?
Anyways, it is Cal and it is UNLV. Cal 6-6, UNLV a 10-win team, but UNLV has lost their head coach, their offensive coordinator,
yeah,
and some players too. Cal without their quarterback, Fernando Mendoza. So we'll see about that one.
Go Cal. My buddy is coaching over there. Go Winterhawk. Go Cal.
Couple pieces of college football news. The first, this one's interesting. It feels like we're getting new adjustments to college rules by the day. And today, a court judge granted an injunction for Diego Pavia, the quarterback out of Vanderbilt, where they're basically saying his junior college years don't count towards his eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of dudes out there who have 1 or 2 years at the JUCO ranks and then only have 2 or 3 more years left to play at D1 college. They're saying now if this holds up, the new precedent's going to be those years basically don't count. And so what you're going to get is a lot of older players in college football, guys hanging on a lot longer. And I'll be fascinated to see, I mean, how many it impacts on the Oregon roster. I don't know how many guys had a JUCO year or two that they now get back from that. I mean, probably not many, but that's going to happen places.
Matt Preem had it on his X, and I can't seem to find it. But there's a couple big-time players. Cardwell would be one that could come back next year if that was how it worked for them. The other big thing, and Dusty was talking about this earlier today on Danny and Dusty, is it makes the junior college almost like a true minor league system of like, hey, go to the junior college for a year or two. Go get bigger, go get faster,
it won't
and then
cost
you can
you
come
anything.
Back to us.
Yeah.
It's a bigger deal, and it makes it a much more viable option.
Interesting. Well, some transfer portal news. The Ducks pick up two more. They got a tight end from Louisville. His name is Jamari Johnson. That's going to be a nice pickup for them because, obviously, Terrence Ferguson moving on to the pros after the season. They still have Kenyon Sadiq, but can use more than one. Also, Patrick Herbert will be leaving the Ducks program as well. And then they pick up a gigantic offensive lineman out of Texas State. Harkey is his name. Let's see.
Oh, is that the like 6'9 guy?
He's like 6'6, 350 or 360.
Yeah.
Dude is just a Alex Harkey. And that is a dude. granted, he's from Texas State. I know very little about him as a player, but I know that's plenty of beef.
He's a guy, they'll knock down 20 pounds on him, and you'll see his numbers actually jump up.
I bet.
No one is good at 350, and when I say good, I mean like weight-wise. No one's ever been at 350 and been like, this is the healthiest I've ever felt.
Of course, the biggest college football news of the day, Jake Dickert leaving Washington State for Wake Forest, leaving the Cougs in a tight spot, and unfortunately, the newest stepping stone in the Pac-12, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, this is unfortunately what your lot in life is now. Oregon State's the same way. You got to go and find a coach that either is a young and up-and-comer and is going to be in and out of there in a couple years, or you have to go and try and find your version of a Schneider like at Kansas State or a Kirk Ferentz at Iowa and just kind of understand what you are. And unfortunately, Wake Forest is a better job now than you.
What about like an old Jeff Fisher? And I'm not saying he would work, but like Bill Belichick, done with the NFL, going to North Carolina. What
Does
if
Bill
you,
work?
What if I'm not sure, but they're paying him $10 million a year, thinking and increasing NIL budget, thinking it will. But what if you go to that pool? Kind of an untapped, you know,
I've also wondered about like the former player pool. Is there like because like a Deshaun Foster at UCLA? I mean, people thought that sucked, but like Michael Vick at Norfolk. You're now seeing some guys who are younger, just off the heels of their playing days, now get into coaching earlier. And I think those guys have a little juice recruiting. I think they have a little juice just in their reputation from having played in the pros. So like, I don't know who that guy would be for Washington State, but like, I mean, somebody on the text line even said, could you go get a Luke Falk? I don't know if he wants to coach. I don't know if he's in coaching, but is there a former Coug out there that is true to their school enough that you could convince them to come back home, basically?
I don't know that I would want to go down this route. In fact, I wouldn't, but you could go and look instead of a Coug, but a Mike Leach disciple. So like a Graham Harrell type.
Sure.
That's okay. Not a road that I would go down personally. Graham hasn't been awesome when he's gone on to bigger
schools.
But it's a possibility. Maybe you go and try and find someone who runs a similar offense to like Josh Heupel. Heupel's offense is similar to that go-go offense that UNLV was running. So that could be an avenue that you go down. Mm-hmm. I worry about him. Like Deshaun Foster, for all of his faults, his guys they play hard for him. And he's got that little bit of a leader of men type of deal.
That's why they hired him.
And it seems like he builds on that. Can you find someone who is going to be a leader of men who wants to stay in Pullman, who also fits the build of like, that's where they want to be forever?
Right.
Like at least.
That's a hard thing to do.
Like Trent Bray wasn't amazing this year, but at least Trent Bray kind of has a mold around him for Oregon State of if he works at his highest potential, like that's a guy that would stay at Oregon State potentially for a long time. He doesn't seem like he's trying to bolt to go anywhere else. Well, one, because I don't know how many other places are going to take him outside of a DC role. So that could be a guy that stays there like a Ferentz or, you know, like a Schneider. I don't have an immediate thought of who that person is for WSU.
Get a couple texts on the fan text line. One says Ryan Leaf. I've already seen him say, and for reasons outside of this, I think the answer would be no. But he said, nope, I lost that privilege when I asked for and stole pills from my own players. So that won't be me. And so he just walked out, owned it, and said, no. I did horrible things when I was a coach before. I've lost that privilege. Someone else says Drew Bledsoe. I think he's too tied up in the wine industry to want to go back to that. Yeah, he's got a cush gig going.
Can't just throw random former athletes out there. Somebody's got to be in coaching still. Didn't Tyrod Taylor just lead his high school team to a championship?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Thank you, Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. My bad. But hey, former quarterbacks that are coaching high school.
Exactly right.
Trent Dilfer's on the list. Hey. That's who's out.
You
there.
Don't want Trent Dilfer. UAB is falling apart at the seams right now.
And this from the fan text line as well. Buck, if the Blazers lose tomorrow, and they probably will, they will be on pace to win just 24 games. That's okay. Relax, bro. Point taken. Heard. I just think that, what did they start? They started like 6-8 or something. You're not getting Cooper Flagg with 24 wins, I'll tell you that much.
I know Washington has 3.
Hey, you know who bet only one season win total under this year? That would be me. It was the Washington Wizards under 22.5. I'm feeling good. Hoping it cashes by April.
There you go.
That's all we have for the Victorico's Hot 5 at 5, brought to you, of course, by Victorico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victoricos.com. When you think flavor, think of Victorico's. Coming up next, just a little NFL nibble. Does chemistry matter in football? If so, how much? And I've got a red zone grievance. That's coming up next, a holiday edition of Primetime, an SOB edition on 1080 The Fan. A little more Bublé coming at you, completely unappreciated by one Will Ortner, but appreciated very much by me and obviously Schultz as well.
It is fine for bubbles, man. It's
sorry, Will. Not sorry.
It's fine, man. Hey, man, I'm not here to
I don't feel
dump
like Will,
on what you like.
Yeah, I don't think Will is affronted. It's just not his jam,
okay. It's not my vibe. Not a music, Christmas music guy. It is what it is. It's okay.
I can't force that upon people. I like it. Some people don't. It's okay.
There is something that almost all Christmas music is an easy listen. Like I don't know if it's designed that way. I mean, sure, you have some that are like more upbeat, maybe some that are too slow, but it's hard to be like, this music's stressing me out, like some music can do.
Well, it came, Will and I were talking a little bit about this last week when we were filling in for Danny and Dusty. It came basically from the nostalgia of the 40s and 50s, all of this Christmas music that Bublé literally just copied verbatim from Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. It was all born from the times where all the people here at home were missing their brothers, their sons, their dads, you know, that were trapped basically fighting a war all over the world. And those nostalgic times of, you know, longing for family and togetherness. And I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about this. That's why the songs are so easy listening. It's why they're so soft. And it's why they bring up all those lovey-dovey feelings. And it's why New Age Christmas songs suck.
Didn't you just play New Age synthesized Christmas
did
music?
That was 80s. From the 80s, bro.
Which at the time was New Age.
It was also in the
I'm
time
not
where
be bad mouth.
Do you
want to
talk about the
music?
NFL, Will? Would that be better?
Yes, but I will sit here and I will rail against Christmas music.
That's fine.
And you cannot use.
I'm not
going to
make you like it. It's not going to tell my kid to eat his vegetables, which he does not do.
I don't either. Al Michaels doesn't. Why should me or your child have to?
Well, my child is a growing boy. You are a withering away boy because you've lost so much weight. And Al Michaels. I don't know. He wants to be on that, like, I'm Keith ten. Richards, it doesn't matter what I put in my body plan, because, yeah, having not had a...
Calories in, calories out. I get it, Mike.
I don't know, man. I feel like he needs some of those nutrients, but what do I know? Al Michaels may be healthier than me. Who knows? Let's get into the NFL, though. I have a broad question for you, Will.
Yeah.
And because I really don't know the answer to it, and that is, does chemistry matter in football? And I'm not talking about the kind of, like, oh... You know, we vibe together on the O-line, but like team chemistry, like locker room chemistry, I feel like it isn't always requisite of a championship level team. There have historically been teams throughout history with guys that didn't like each other or people that didn't necessarily like see eye to eye, but they made it work for the greater good. But what I'm seeing in the NFL right now, it's a really interesting thing going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. Everyone seems to hate each other, and yet they are rolling. And even in their last game, they're playing a very good, maybe playoff-bound Pittsburgh team. And in the fourth quarter, Sirianni's trying to talk to one of his defensive linemen, and the D-line coaches get in Sirianni's face, and there's Big Dom strolling in there, and he's trying to keep the peace. And you got the head coach screaming at a position coach in a game that you're winning by 2 touchdowns, and you've won like 10 or 11 in a row. What is happening?
It seems like they all hate Sirianni.
It does.
It seems like Sirianni rubs him the wrong way. It seems like A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts aren't big fans of each other. My favorite part about Graham's like whole thing on that was like, I was joking. It was satire.
Liar. And because like, no. And so, if you don't know what Will's talking about, he's talking about Brandon Graham, who is a defensive lineman who has a podcast. Now, he's out for the season with a torn...
It wasn't even on his pod, I thought. I thought it was like on a radio hit.
It might have been. But he basically said that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown were not on the same page. They were having issues,
right,
et cetera. Now, if he's saying, oh, I was just joking, that's a lie, because now reports are out today that on the bye week, Brandon Graham and Big Dom, if you don't remember Big Dom, he's like the head executive.
He's their security
guard. He was security, but now he's been put more of like a consigliere role. It's a very odd thing. You remember he was the one who got in a mini dust up with the 49ers linebacker Dre Greenlaw last year, and that ended up being a thing. But apparently he's a people person and he makes things go in the organization. Well, there are reports now that Brandon Graham and Big Dom went to Jalen Hurts' house during the bye week and told him, you need to connect with your teammates more. And I don't know all that's behind that. And it seemed like from the outside, A.J. Brown was really the more unhappy one. But now there's some reports out there that Jalen Hurts is maybe a little bit more of a diva, kind of keeping to himself, doing his own thing. I don't know what's true and what's not. And frankly, I don't care as much about that. What I do care about is, does it prohibit them or hinder them in their chance to win a Super Bowl, this chemistry thing? How much does it matter?
A little. It matters at certain points. And it matters in a way of, you don't have to like who you play with. You have to respect them. I've played with a lot of different players on a lot of different teams, and I didn't like every single person that I played with. But the ones who mattered and the ones who played, I respected them. And you have to trust that they are, at the end of the day, going to try and do what's best for the team when it comes to winning. Now, some guys are going to do it in a way, like A.J. Brown, to me, it's the perfect wide receiver because his selfishness is, I think I'm the best.
It's coming from a good place.
I need the ball in my hands. I will help us do the most. Where Jalen Hurts is trying to do a whole of like, I'm trying to get the ball in your hands. I'm trying to get in Devontae's hands. I'm trying to find extra touches for Saquon. And so I don't love the vibes out of Philadelphia right now, but they continue to win. And crazier things have happened. Like, when you think about the Legion of Boom Seahawks team, the defense really liked the defense. The offense kind of liked the offense, and they hated each other across the ball. Percy Harvin and Golden Tate got in a fist fight in the middle of a meeting in the middle of the Super Bowl week. Mm-hmm. That actually happened. They were notorious at times, and fighting happens, right? It's part of having a bunch of type A personalities in a sport, in a league, where their entire lives they've been told they're going to make money because of their bodies, and they need to show aggression. And so the first inkling at any time when things don't go their way or when they disagree, it is going to be physical. That's what they've grown up in. I think at times you see a lot of this fighting, but most teams do a good job of keeping it in-house, where for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's the media reporting and not being afraid to say things, if it's Sirianni not keeping things in-house, if it's the players being dumb and not being media trained and saying things that they shouldn't say, or some combination of those factors and others, all of their dirty laundry ends up out in the public.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just a Philly thing, like if it's the Philly media, if it's the...
But this happened with McNabb and Owens.
Yes, it did.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's happening again because McNabb was tweeting about how Jalen Hurts needs to get it figured out, and T.O. came right back at him and was like, well, you didn't do this for me, so why should he do it for you?
Yeah, he's basically like, well, that's rich. I'm glad you think the quarterback should do this because you didn't.
It's a dumpster fire. It's a reality TV Bravo show. It's the real football players of Philadelphia. And all of their dirty laundry is just going to keep airing out and keep getting put out. But if they're going to keep winning, who cares?
Would you make them the favorite to win the NFC?
No.
Okay.
I think I still lean Detroit.
Okay.
I think I lean Detroit.
Detroit now with 22 players on the PUP or injured reserve
list. But they're supposed to get Alzone back.
Yeah,
Anzalone, yeah. Thank you. They're going to get him back.
And Aiden Hutchinson says if they make the Super Bowl, he'll be back.
If you go far enough, losing David Montgomery sucks, but Jahmyr Gibbs would be a solo number one back on 90% of the teams. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of defensive injuries, but you don't have a lot of offensive injuries, mm-hmm. and you still have the best O-line in all of football. I think I slightly lean Detroit, but I'll tell you what, Philadelphia is definitely coming back on that shtick. Also, and it's a slight deviation, but it is a part of Philly. Have you seen the Foxworth stuff about Jalen Hurts?
No, I haven't.
Dominique Foxworth has been attacking Jalen Hurts right now because Jalen Hurts has pretty privilege.
I didn't know it was Foxworth. I saw someone accuse him of having pretty privilege. Now, as a white privileged man myself, I'm curious in this pretty privilege and whether I have any.
Well, basically he's saying that Jalen Hurts is too attractive and that's why he doesn't get attacked enough, which is hilarious from the first part, because who cares? Like, his pretty privilege wouldn't be the difference in him getting attacked by the media or not. They have shown in Philadelphia and nationally that they don't care if you're pretty or not.
They'll attack him anyways.
They'll attack you. But then the best part, there has been an uncovering of like a TikTok or a video of Foxworth and his wife talking about like the tush push, and his wife being like, oh, I wish I could be Jalen Hurts, or I wish that Jalen Hurts was pushing on my tush. And it's like just flying everywhere. And so it's now basically everyone realizes he came out and was attacking Jalen Hurts because like he's jealous that his wife has the hots for Jalen Hurts.
That's amazing.
It's fantastic. I'm trying to find the clip, and maybe I'll get it over to Schultz or something. But yeah, she went on like whatever podcast that she has as well, and basically is just saying she's into him. And so now he's like, how dare she? Or how dare Jalen Hurts?
Well,
pretty privilege.
Well, if the Eagles are the king of the bad vibes, there's another team that has it rolling that might be the kings of the good vibes, and that's the Buffalo Bills. Now, Josh Allen is the runaway favorite to win the MVP. He's been playing outstanding, especially since he got engaged midway through the season. I think he's sitting at like 14 touchdowns, no turnovers since that point that he popped the question.
Well, he's unbelievable since then. It's numbers akin to Jordan Love in Toyotathon.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. It's like 7 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing, no interceptions, 123.9 QB rating. Like, he's unbelievable right now.
But I heard and saw something with the NFL Films mic'd up stuff from Buffalo last week, and they were obviously, they put up a ton of points against Detroit, and there was a clip that came out from behind the scenes after Khalif Shakir scored a touchdown. I didn't really know or think that this would be a thing, but it feels like the kind of thing that would earn a little goodwill. I'll play the clip for you and then explain exactly what happened here.
Little shovel pass, and it's Shakir with the Buffalo touchdown.
This is going to be a throwing touchdown.
It is a touchdown pass.
Well, that was supposed to be a handoff.
That's the way to think about it.
Did he say he was pitching it in the huddle?
He asked me. He said right before, he said, what you want?
Oh, is there a call? Stop
talking. Nice touchdown pass. Did you pitch that one?
I asked Will. He said he wanted to pitch it. Sorry.
Sure.
I gave you 2 rushings today already.
I love you.
So that is Josh Allen. First, it's Shakir saying that Josh Allen gave him the choice in the huddle. As you heard on the play, it was a little shovel pass. And I don't know if this is for contract incentives. I'm guessing it is, that it helps Khalil Shakir more to get a receiving touchdown than it does to get a rushing touchdown. That would be my guess. But it's interesting to me that he asked Shakir, do you want a rushing or do you want a receiving touchdown? And then made it happen. And the linemen are like, dude, what'd you give him a passing touchdown for? He's like, hey. And Allen had already run into himself. He's like, I already got you 2 rushing touchdowns. This lineman goes, I love you, man. It seems it's like he's beautiful. Like spreading the wealth. And I wouldn't even have been thinking down that road if I'm Josh Allen. And yet here in the moment, he is, I guess, leaving it to one of his fellow players to decide the type of touchdown. I don't know why it matters. I think it's cool that he did it.
He is at a point right now where everything that he throws goes in, everything that he runs goes in. There's no one hotter in the NFL on just every decision he makes is perfect. You saw this year where going into it, Buffalo was supposed to be rebuilding. There were a lot of people, and it sounds stupid now looking back, that picked the Jets to finish over Buffalo. There were a lot of people that picked the Dolphins to finish over Buffalo.
Yeah.
This was a completely revamped. They got rid of all of the old players that made a lot of money, and they still had injuries. Their starting middle linebacker, Matt Milano, missed the start of the year.
Yeah.
He just came back. They completely, I don't want to say they completely changed the offense, but they changed the offense in a way that now features more of a run game. They used their 2 tight ends in Knox and Kincaid much more than they used to last year, where it was much more of a Josh Allen try and get explosive plays to Gabe Davis and to Stephon Diggs. And this year, you're asking him to be much more efficient with the football. He has been. You're asking him to not have turnovers. He hasn't had them. You're asking him to make a lot of pre-snap reads and decisions. Josh Allen's been making those. There's a reason why he's the front runner for the MVP. Has he got it locked up? No, but right now, I don't know that there's a better QB in the NFL than Josh Allen.
I would agree. I think that I think he might have this thing locked up. I suppose it could go sideways here, but the way he's played with the numbers where they are right now, I see a hard time for anyone else prying it away from him unless Saquon does something unbelievable in the last few weeks and really ups those those rushing numbers.
He'd have to break the rushing record.
Yeah, I think that's about where it is, too. But that is enough NFL now, or NFL for now, in our NFL nibble. We need to get over to the NBA Nutcracker. The Bucks win the NBA Cup, but does anybody care? Here's Schulte with Sports Center. Schulte, this is one of my wife's favorites.
Mine too.
Her favorite modern Christmas album is the NSYNC Christmas
Happy
album.
Holiday.
I'm not an NSYNC guy at all.
Oh, yeah.
I got to admit, this is kind of a jam.
It slaps. Any new age Christmas song.
I haven't heard it.
This is pre-Biebs for you.
No, I'm well aware of NSYNC.
I know you.
I know about Justin Timberlake.
I have to give you a tough time about your youth.
Hey, they're Biebs before Biebs was Biebs.
That's right.
They're original Biebs.
Yeah,
a whole collection of Biebs.
Any new age Christmas song debate, this has got to be at the top.
Let's get into our rocks. NBA Nutcracker. And what was going to start the Nutcracker is the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA Cup. Matters a whole heck of a lot to the NBA. We're not sure if it matters to anybody else. For one, did you see that they didn't celebrate this after...
Why would they?
Well, they would because the NBA rolled out a bunch of coolers of Michelob for them and put them up in the locker room and said, hey, you guys won. Go ahead and celebrate. But Doc Rivers, talking with Darvin Ham, who was coaching the Lakers when they won the NBA Cup, said, yeah, we didn't celebrate. We didn't really douse each other. We didn't really do stuff. Just kind of focus on the season and keep going. So
it was a $500,000 per player prize, and you're telling me nobody wanted to spray each other with beer or champagne because of that?
That's exactly right. Well, I what I'm telling you is that Darvin Ham and Doc Rivers collectively decided there was nothing to celebrate. Although I did see that one of their bench guys, Ryan Rollins, who was a Warriors second round draft pick 3 or 4 years ago, he made more money in that NBA Cup final than he has in his entire 3-4 year career so far.
He probably celebrated a little bit.
I bet he did, and he should. But the new interesting thing popping up in our NBA Nutcracker relates to some odds on player movement. Now, BetOnline AG has the odds for CJ McCollum's most likely next team, and that with the Pelicans just being awful this year. They've suffered a whole host of injuries. Zion hasn't been healthy, but CJ could be a nice piece for a contender, and the heavy favorite to land CJ is the Milwaukee Bucks, pairing him up once again with Damian Lillard.
Well, I was told that that is a winning a championship type of combo that you need, so I cannot wait to see
them. I was told it was a can't get over the hump type of combo, but I guess if you have Giannis along there with it and Brooke Lopez and some others, maybe that's something that works. And I then also saw on the timeline that Eric McCollum, who's CJ's brother and is very active, he said, I don't know if this is true or not, but everything in the league is unpredictable. My brother is happy in New Orleans and has become a staple of the community, .. But if this did happen, this year would be something special to watch. They chemistry A1. And I don't disagree. Those guys vibed like crazy together. I would be interesting to see what that looks like and if it improves the Bucks' chances, because CJ can get you a bucket, but the issue always was that if you had both Dame and CJ on the floor, you're giving up too much defensively.
I would make the argument it does nothing.
And it might not.
What was the issue with the Bucks last year? They were old, and so by the time the end of the year came around, everyone kind of got hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess I'm being a little bit unfair to Giannis, because we're not that far removed from Giannis being the best player in all of basketball. We're what? 3 years removed from it. And if Giannis stays healthy in, you know, that playoff series, if he doesn't get hurt, what could have been, we'll never know, right? And so if you get into the playoffs and Giannis can turn back the clock and Giannis can stay healthy, this Bucks team could beat any team. But I still think right now that when you look out east, CJ McCollum doesn't make me look at the Bucks and say, oh, well, they're now the best team in the East. They're still
about
second,
the same team, right?
Third. Yeah.
Bucks, they're fifth right now.
I'm saying, like, in your eye test, not where they rank.
Oh, well, and yeah, I mean, because they had such a horrible start that they're only now starting to recover from that. I think they started like 2-9 or something.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, they're probably the second or third favorite to win East. And I don't know that acquiring CJ changes
much there. Are they better than Boston? No. Are they better than Cleveland? Maybe. You know, like, are they better than the Knicks? Maybe. I don't know. Like,
they're definitely better than Orlando. I would say that for sure.
Okay, so, you know, they're a team that probably makes it to the second round, but then after that, I would need it to be proven to me on the court, and they have not done that, and I still worry about their age. And bringing in CJ, if you're saying, like, you bring in CJ to replace Middleton because of all of Middleton's injuries, I would make the argument that CJ adds a new weakness unless you don't play him on the court with Dame, and then what's the point of bringing in CJ? He doesn't get you better defensively, and offensively, what he brings you, I think that you could probably find that with others.
One of the big drop-offs for the Bucks was at the point guard position, because Jrue Holiday was one of the best, if not the best, defensive point guard in the league, and I think he defended point guards better than any other team when Milwaukee won that championship. It's a big drop-off just at the one position for point guard from Jrue to Dame. Now you're talking about putting another defensive liability in. You guys are right. I mean, some nice accessories around them here in Portland would have made it work better. I think Giannis will make up for some of that, but they've been struggling defensively now for a season and a half.
Giannis can hide a lot of things. I don't know that he would be able to hide the defensive deficiencies that you'd have there. And if he did, I would think it would affect him offensively. And then would you get that made up by CJ and Dame? And would you be able to get that made up every single game? Could you get it made up for four games to win a playoff series? I don't know. I think that the biggest unsung heroes, and maybe they're a little more sung now that Derek White got to be on the USA team, it's Derek White and Jrue Holiday's defense. What those two were able to do to opposing guards and make their lives miserable. And they didn't stop opposing guards from getting their true numbers. What they did was they made their life more difficult. Just look at what happened to Kyrie Irving in the NBA Finals as compared to what he was doing in the Western Conference Finals. And Minnesota is a good defensive team. They had the defensive player of the year, Anthony Edwards. He plays good defense. Naz Reid plays good defense. Rudy Gobert, that's all he does other than dunk, is play good defense. And Kyrie Irving ate them alive. He was able to get to any spot that he wanted to and get his buckets. And look, Lucas still got his. Kyrie didn't even get his, and that was the biggest difference in winning that title for them. And the problem is the Bucks don't have that. The Bucks have a Giannis who can make getting to the rim difficult and can make scoring in the paint difficult. But do you have someone who can truly take away a guard on the perimeter? No. And in fact, I think you'd have two liabilities that might make it easier for them to get what they want.
Let's turn the page in the NBA Nutcracker. Apparently TikTok waits for no man, even under anesthesia. That's next on The Fan. Another one that reminds me of Home Alone. This is a song that plays when Kevin's getting his house all booby-trapped for the bad guys.
Yeah, this is a very, very important moment of the movie.
The Wet Bandits. Spoiler alert.
Did you see what Marv is up to these days? Did you see that?
Is he painting?
Sculpting.
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw a video of it yesterday. So weird. It's like starts with a close-up sculpture he's made, and it's like the texture of, I think, Marilyn Monroe's dress, and he zooms back out, and she's, like, sitting upside down on a chair in, like, a famous pose, and he does, like, a whole 360 look around it, and he's like, I just love that pose. And I'm like, what?
He seems like a weird guy.
I think so, too.
I think he's a bad hang.
Yeah.
I bet you he's a bad hang.
I think this may, I don't know if this proves that, but I got weird vibes from that one.
Dude demanded more money initially to be on Home Alone, and they rejected it. Because they
really,
so the story goes, he was like contracted. You're always contracted for a certain number of days or weeks of work. It was like an 8-week shoot originally for Home Alone. He had agreed to a number for that 8-week shoot. They said, well, we're going to need you for an extra 3 weeks. Well, he said, so you're going to give me 3 weeks extra pay? They initially said no. And then, yeah, so he kind of gave him the middle finger and got lucky to get that job back because Daniel Roebuck didn't work. But it's just, yeah, probably not a great hang. Just a dumb decision on his part.
Well, speaking of dumb decisions, and I don't know that this necessarily falls into that category, but you boys are familiar with the TikTok sensation and Philadelphia Sixers player Jared McCain. He came out of Duke.
2 days into college, and he's 3 lectures behind. He met a boy. Let's name him Colin. No, I've never heard of him.
So he
wants to be mine.
He is a big, big TikTok sensation, and there was already some scuttlebutt around the league. I mean, he's at his facility. He's doing his Millie Rock dances and everything else that's going on. And it's like, it's kind of a lot. And it's got some people already kind of eye rolling. Well, he's going to be out for a while because he tore his meniscus. Mm-hmm. And that means he had to go under the knife to have it repaired. But as we know, TikTok waits for no man. While he's under, TikTok keeps a ticking and a talking. And he needed to talk to his people immediately.
No, he did.
After he got out of surgery. And here's what that sounded like.
What's up, TikTok? Just got out of surgery.
His eyes are barely open.
I just want to say I love you guys. Thank you. I love you. We the best music.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
There's no need. Don't lie.
Yes! Take this dude's phone! Yes!
Bye, TikTok.
Bye, Jared.
Bye, TikTok.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye, Jared.
This dude was so doped up, he could barely open his eyes and barely string a sentence together, but you have to talk to your people.
That rocked, and he dropped a DJ Khaled.
Yes, we did.
The best. Yes. I
different times we're living in, boys.
I'm not a fan of Jared McCann. I'm coming around to Jared McCann because he angers others. Like, him dancing and having the nail paint and all that really bothers other people.
Yeah, they're calling his followers McCaniacs. Yeah.
We need to stop coming up with names for followers of people.
Like Swifties?
Yeah, the Swifties, the bees. We just need to stop. We are what we are. We don't need a nickname for everything.
You be nice. The Willies are becoming a force, okay?
Oh, God.
That is the Will Ortner fan club.
The Willies!
The Willies!
Hell yeah!
We might be few, but we are mighty.
I like
we
that.
We are coming together. That's a Dusty Hera joint there. That's
I like that.
The Willies.
Okay.
The Willies.
Well, we'll talk more about the Willies as well as we're going to have to unload Santa's sack of prizes here in the club coming up. There's so much to get to. I'm going to have to throw a grab bag at you and see what you guys want to latch onto. But some of our options include Mr. Beast and the Pyramids, a cartel cockfight massacre, and what are the chances we've actually cured cancer in Russia?
I feel like haven't we cured certain cancers?
Not yet.
Getting
close, but not quite.
We're talking about getting a shot that prevents you from getting any cancer. I think that's out there.
Something tells me it doesn't work.
We'll talk about that next. It's the club coming up on The Fan.